all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Go ye. This morning we have a wonderful occasion. This morning we're worshiping the one true and the living God, like-minded and with one heart. This morning we have the opportunity to learn what God wants out of us when it comes to personal evangelism, when it comes to going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. Today we're going to have a two-part lesson. The first part this morning is going to be talking about why we should evangelize, how to evangelize, and when should we evangelize. Tonight we're going to be talking about more in-depth study about how to personal evangelize one-on-one with somebody. Tonight we're going to be talking about the urgency of personal evangelism. But this morning we're going to be talking about the Great Commission and who is called to evangelize. Why do you think, through the writings of Mark, that God chose to say the words, "Go ye"? You know, some might believe that He is saying, "Go you," or "Go them," or "Go him," or "Go her." Go anyone else but me. God chose to say the words, "Go ye." That is a plea to every Christian everywhere that God wants you, you personally, to preach the gospel. Through your everyday life, through your walks, through when you're out on the street, when you're at Walmart, when you're at your home, when you're wanting to go to your next door neighbor, God calls you to preach the gospel. This morning we're going to be talking about this. The past 2 years, in the summers, I have worked with the Buford Church of Christ in Buford, Georgia, as their preacher intern. And as you exit their building, there is a sign above the door of the exit that says, "You are now entering a mission field." Do we honestly believe that as we are exiting this building, we are entering a mission field? I challenge this congregation to believe that the world around us here in America, here in Tanner Church of Christ, here around Tanner Church of Christ, around us is a mission field. All around us there are souls without Jesus Christ. All around us there are souls who have not been baptized. There are souls right next to you when you are walking down the aisle at Walmart. There are souls next to you when you are at that ball game. There are souls everywhere that need Jesus Christ. Jesus would say in another instance of the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, "Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." If you go to the book of Luke, there's another instance of the Great Commission. In Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 47, the Bible reads, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached to all nations, beginning first at Jerusalem." Fast forward to the book of John. In John chapter 20, in verse 21, Jesus says, "Peace to you. As the Father sends me, so I also send you." These four verses are commonly known as the Great Commission. Why do you think Jesus Christ would make sure that He had every gospel book record Him saying, "Go"? Jesus Christ made sure that all the gospels said, "Go." And Jesus Christ made sure every gospel said, "Go ye." It was a plea to every Christian that were to be, that every Christian is challenged to evangelize. Every Christian is challenged to bring more souls to Jesus Christ. You know, God has never accepted excuses. God has never accepted mankind's excuses. God did not take Adam and Eve's excuse in the garden. God did not take Cain's excuse when he offered up a wrong sacrifice before God. God did not take Jonah's excuse when he said he did not want to go to Nineveh. God made a believer out of Jonah when the great whale swallowed him whole. Notice, God did not take Jonah's excuse. God did not take David's excuse when David put the Ark of the Covenant on a cart instead of letting the Levites hold it like God commanded. God did not take David's excuse. God did not take Moses' excuse when Moses hit the rock instead of speaking to it. Moses didn't get to go to the promised land because God did not take his excuse. We will all give an account for the things that we have done as well as the things that we have not done while here on this earth. So what have you done when it comes to personal evangelism? What have you done when it comes to furthering the borders of the churches of Christ? If you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 16. Jesus says, "You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." Brethren, the Bible tells us that we have got to be a good tree that bears good fruit. Now, this verse is not only talking about bearing another Christian. It's talking about bearing love, bearing faith, bearing virtue, all the different Christian graces and all the different fruits of the Spirit found in Galatians 5 and 1 Peter 1. It's talking about that, but as well as that, it's talking about Christians going out and bearing fruit. It's talking about Christians going out and spreading the gospel. One day, Jesus is telling us, in Matthew chapter 7, He's telling us, one day, you as Christians are going to be a tree. You're going to be a tree. You're going to have to bear fruit. And if you do not bear fruit, if you bear bad fruit, you will be cut down and cast into the fire. So what kind of fruit have you been bearing for God? You know, this congregation is doing something that I think every congregation should do. The elders, the deacons, Robert, the leadership here has challenged this congregation to evangelize to 1,200 doors this year. There will be a door knocking program that each of you will be challenged to evangelize, to preach the gospel, to bring souls to Jesus Christ. This year, the elders and the leadership here have a goal of letting this community know that Tanner Church of Christ cares about their soul. Letting this community know that Tanner Church of Christ wants everyone to be saved. So this is why I've decided to talk about this morning. That as each of you are challenged to fill this goal, you can know that God is with you, that Jesus Christ has sent you and that the Holy Spirit will be with you through the Word as you do this. You know, there's nothing like knowing that you played a pivotal role in someone becoming a Christian. There is nothing like knowing that you were one of the main reasons that someone obeyed the gospel. I've been to the Philippines twice on two journeys with my grandfather. And seeing people raise out of this water, out of baptism, away from the devil's grasp, seeing people's lives be changed has been one of the biggest blessings I've ever gotten. You know, James, the brother of Jesus, writes in James chapter 5, verse 19 through 20, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways has saved a soul from death and has covered a multitude of sins." God means business when He tells us to go ye therefore. I have a great opportunity to preach before my grandparents this morning. Also, along with that, my girlfriend's here and her mother's here from Illinois. They drove all the way from Illinois to hear me. Now, some might say that's a waste of gas, but I'm glad they're here anyway. My grandmother there, her name is Judy Hogan. She attends the Florence Boulevard Church of Christ. And a while back, she wrote a poem. Robert, you like poems. A while back, she wrote a poem about going into all the world, about saving souls, about personal evangelism. And I'd like to read it before you today. It's entitled, "We Are On a Mission." We are on a mission, bringing home the lost, obeying the Master, no matter the cost. Glorifying God as our main goal, sanctifying sinners, saving their souls. Edifying the body with what we know, sticking with the pattern, helping it grow. The body is the church, the people are inside. Christ is our Master, and we are His bride. Bringing wayward souls in one by one, converting sinners to Him and His dear Son. Faithful servants carrying a heavy load are steadfast in their faith from young to old. Be faithful unto death, as said by our Master. Then a crown is yours in the great hereafter." That's a wonderful poem, and I'm very proud to say my grandmother wrote that. One of my favorite parts of this poem is when she says, "Obeying the Master, no matter the cost." In the New Testament, we find instance and instance of apostles, disciples, of followers of Jesus Christ who gave their lives for the gospel's sake. We find instance and instance of people being martyred for their faith. We find instance after instance of someone preaching the gospel to their very death. We find people who did not relent. We find people who did not give up. You think America is hard on Christians? Look up the Romans. Look up what the Romans did to Christians. They put them in the streets and burned them alive. And yet we find Christians who obeyed the Master no matter the cost. Are you willing to do that today? Today, as you walk through your everyday life, are you willing to obey God when it comes to go ye on a daily basis? Are you personally willing to obey no matter the cost? Isaiah in times of old uttered these words, "Here am I, send me." God had a great message to be spread, and He was asking for volunteer service. If you would like to, you can turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, we'll begin in verse 5. "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken from the tongs of the altar. And he touched my mouth with it. And he said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged.' Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Here we see that God was pleading. God was asking, "Who shall I send? Who will go for us?" And then Isaiah replied, "Here am I, send somebody else." Is that what Isaiah replied with? Did Isaiah say, "Here am I, Lord, send somebody else. Here am I, send the guy next to me. Send the preacher, send the elder, send the deacon." Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." Where are the people? Where are the people in the churches of Christ who will with all boldness, with boldness, will say, "Send me"? Where are the Isaiahs of our day? How desperately we need to all say, "Here am I, send me," and go forth and spread the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Will there be anyone in heaven because of you? Because you were willing to say, "Here am I, send me." Will someone look at you in heaven one day and say, "I am here because you spread the gospel to me. I am here out of the devil's grasp. I am here in glory forever with God because you had the courage to talk to me about the most important thing there is to talk about." Jesus would say in John chapter 15 and verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give to you." Jesus Christ appointed you as a Christian. Jesus Christ chose you to go and to bear fruit for Him. Is that not powerful this morning? Jesus Christ, the omnipotent, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the all-present, Jesus Christ, the one who died for your sins, chose you. Jesus Christ appointed you to go and to bear fruit. Brethren, we are saved in order that we might save others. We are taught in order that we might teach others. Brethren, we have been asleep, at ease in Zion. Many have been unwilling to say, "Lord, send me." You know, many times the church has been in her slippers, in her robe, kicked back in her easy chair, with a sign on the door that says, "Please do not disturb." Many times the church of Christ has been backed up in the closet with the door closed, singing, "We're marching to Zion," while the devil is in the living room where the action is. Brethren, we have got to get out of our comfort zones and get where the action is. This is what Christ did. Christ didn't seclude Himself. Christ didn't make people come to Him. It was a natural impulse for those people to come to Him. It should be that way with us today. People around us should see something different. People around us should see something amazing about you. People around us should know that you are Jesus Christ. You are Jesus Christ's son. You are Jesus Christ's disciple. And they should come to you asking you questions as they did Jesus Christ. We need to give ourselves to faithfulness in soul winning. We have got to get out of our comfort zones, as I was talking about. One of the biggest excuses Christians have is, "I just don't want to ruin that relationship. I just don't want to ruin that relationship." I would rather ruin a relationship here on earth than have someone look me in the eye on judgment day and say, "Where were you? Where were you, Ben? Why didn't you preach the gospel to me? Why didn't you tell me that I was lost? Why didn't you love me enough to tell me what I needed to hear?" Was it comfortability? Comfortability can send people to hell forever. Get out of your comfort zones. You know, we have not taken aim at worldwide evangelism in our day. We have not taken aim at worldwide evangelism. We are more than willing to send a person thousands of miles away, but we are less likely to go 50 feet next door and preach the gospel to that person. We are more than willing to spend thousands of dollars, thousands of our dollars, to go across the world, and we should, but we are not willing to preach, to teach, to evangelize in our own hometown, in our own state, in our own country. Maybe that's what is going wrong with America today. People have become too comfortable in their everyday life. People have forgotten that "go ye" means "go me." People have forgotten that "go ye" means "go here." Just because Jesus said, "Go into all the world," that doesn't mean He meant across the world. Jesus meant right where you are just as much as He meant across the world. Now, we should go across the world, and this church does a great job of putting money towards that work. But each of us as individuals today, this morning, have the job to go right here in Tanner, in Athens, in Limestone County. Evangelism calls for persistence. Evangelism calls for persistence. I'm reminded of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 5. Here the Bible says They went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. The Bible says they went forth. And then the Bible says, and into the land of Canaan they came. They started and they did not stop. The same way you and I should go and do not stop until it's fulfilled. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul. If you will turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Here the Apostle Paul makes one of the greatest statements of all the Bible, I would say. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Brethren, we need to have the attitude of Paul that woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Brethren, Jesus Christ died for you. Paul understood that. Paul understood that Jesus Christ died for him anyway. Paul understood that Jesus knew that he, Saul, would kill Christians. Paul knew that Jesus died knowing that he would commit murder against God's followers. Paul felt responsible. Paul felt guilty in some cases. So guilty that it pushed him to devote his life to preaching the gospel. To the point of death. You and I should feel the same responsibility. We should feel the same guilt that Paul did. And it should spurn us. It should lead us to preaching the gospel the same way Paul did. When it comes to Abraham, God told him to get thee out of thy country and get to work. That's W-O-R-K. Work. Many times God is telling you to get thee out of thy country and get to work. I've heard of a man through Scott Hart, the preacher at Beaufort Church of Christ. He heard of a man who lived in Honolulu, Hawaii. He became sick with an illness. He lived on a Pacific island away from Honolulu. He flew to Honolulu. He had to go to Honolulu for treatments for this sickness. He had to spend maybe a year and a half away from his family. And while he was on the island, he found the Church of Christ. He found the Church of Christ in Honolulu. He began attending services there. He got baptized. He became a pivotal part of their ministry there for that year and a half while he was taking treatments. Well, he got better. The Lord blessed him, and he got to go home to his remote island. When he got home, he looked around the island for the Church of Christ. He wanted to become a pivotal role in that church there. He wanted to convert his children, his wife. But sadly, the man could not find the Church of Christ on the remote island as he had found it in Honolulu. He couldn't find the Church of Christ there. He searched and he searched, but it just wasn't there. So he talked to his children about it. He talked to his wife about it. He tried to make them see the way, but sadly they couldn't. They didn't understand what the Bible teaches. So for 40 years, for 40 years, the man worshiped alone. For 40 years, the man sang to God, the man prayed to God, the man did all that he could. For 40 years, he worshiped alone. He studied his Bible, and he never could convert his children or his wife. Finally, after 40 years of being alone, a missionary came to that island. A missionary of the Churches of Christ came to that island and set up a church there. They started converting hundreds of people to Christ there at that church. The man heard about it in a newspaper and he decided he would go check to see what it was all about. And sure enough, it was the Church of Christ, the Church of the Bible, the church that Jesus Christ set up Himself. With tears in his eyes, he told the missionary his story. And he said, "Now the church is here. Now the church is here, and now the church will help me convert my wife, convert my children, to where we can all worship God together." Sure enough, the man wound up baptizing his wife. The man wound up baptizing his children. The man wound up converting many others on the island. You can be the missionary that brought the church to the island. Or you can be the man who had persistence. The man never gave up. For 40 years he was alone in his faith. And for 40 years he was persistent through it all. Think of the tremendous faith that that man had. We need to fast forward here. You know, a lot of people don't realize that every soul is worth saving. A lot of people shy away from the people that they think do not deserve the gospel. They shy away from the people that they think cannot attain the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." Fast forward to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Peter says, "For the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Fast forward to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. We read the big list of egregious sins. "Do not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor homosexuals, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God." Brethren, the blood of Jesus Christ saves everyone's sins as long as they attain it through the watery grave of baptism. We as Christians shouldn't be wary. We shouldn't be scared. We shouldn't feel fear when it comes to preaching the gospel to those who we think do not deserve it. We shouldn't be scared to preach the gospel to a homosexual. They're in need of Jesus' blood just as much as you are. They're in need of a Savior just as much as all of us. It doesn't matter the sin. It doesn't matter the list of horrible things they've done in their life. Every soul can be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Today we have the opportunity to obey the gospel. Today we have the opportunity to heed the call of God. We have the opportunity to be made perfect, either by baptism or by confessing your sins. You have that opportunity to leave this room perfect through the blood of Jesus Christ. Why can't you come forward this morning? If you have never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's easy. You must hear the word, Romans 10:17. You must believe the Word, John 8:24. You must repent, Luke 13:3 and 5. You must confess, Romans 10:9. You must be baptized, 1 Peter 3:21. And you must live a faithful life, Revelation 2:10. Brethren, come to Jesus Christ today if you have not been baptized. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Come to